Chapter 25.
"You need to make some choices, Kip," Gavin said. From all he could tell, Kip had only been unconscious for seconds or minutes. It was still dark, the stars burning coldly overhead, the fire not yet scorching his clothes despite its nearness to where he'd fallen. The strangling red Luxin mask was gone, though there remained a light coating of dust, gritty and sharp on his skin.
"I'll kill you," Kip said.
He couldn't trust anyone. Everyone was a liar. Everyone was just out for himself. Fear rose, and that made the anger flare as it sometimes did, hot and fierce and uncontrollable. He sat up, eyes locked on the prism's face. The man looked at him coolly, unapologetic, merely curious about what Kip would do, ignoring his words. Kip wondered if he could conjure giant green spikes from the fire to impale the man. "Smart, Kip. In the middle of what Hollow only knows where, you'd kill your guide? For what? For not tolerating your peevishness?" "Not betrayal, Kip. A lesson." Kip shivered. He'd really thought Gavin was going to kill him. And that was the point. He'd given Gavin no choice but to show that he couldn't be handled, not by a child. He was not only older than Kip, he was smarter and harder and more experienced. And he demanded respect. And that was appropriate. But that didn't stop Kip's shivering. If only for a few seconds, he'd really thought he was dying, and there had been nothing he could do about it. But this was the one man who could show him how to never be powerless again. This was the man who could teach him how to avenge his mother and Recton. And Kip was going to sit in silence and stubbornness? With as much dignity as he could muster, Kip retook his seat on the log. His knees trembled, but he was able to sit without disgracing himself further. "Sorry," he mumbled, looking away. He cleared his throat so he wouldn't squeak.
"What choices?" he asked.
He could tell Gavin was a little surprised and pleased that Kip didn't fight, but the man left it alone. "You're my natural son, Kip. That has consequences. For you." Kip was watching Gavin's face closely. He said the words, "my natural son," without a grimace, without even his eyes tightening. Kip wondered if he'd rehearsed to be able to say that so blithely. Kip had seen something of what claiming his own patrimony had cost Gavin, and still the man claimed him without so much as a grimace at Kip's grimace-worthy existence. It had to be an act. Who could be pleased about learning that he'd fathered a bastard? But it was an act for Kip's sake. Gavin was a better man than Kip would have expected. "Being known as my bastard has costs," Gavin continued. "You haven't been raised in privilege, but people who resent those raised in privilege will resent you. You haven't been educated, but those who have been will look down on you if you know less than they do. If I acknowledge you, you'll attract the wrong sort of friends. Those who hate and resent me can't often take it out on me, Kip. I'm too powerful, too dangerous, but they will take it out on you. It isn't fair, but that's how it is. You'll be under constant scrutiny, and both your successes and failures will have repercussions you can't even guess at now. My father may choose not to recognize you. Others will seek to prove you're a fraud. Others will attempt to use you against me, and still others will want to befriend you only in the hope that it will help them gain some favor with me. False friendship is a poison I'd like to protect you from." "Too late for that," Kip thought of Ram. Ram, who was always in charge, who always liked smearing Kip's face in his own inferiority and claiming it was friendly teasing. Ram, whom Issa had loved. Ram, dead, lying with an arrow in his back.
"So what are my options?" Kip asked. "I am what I am."
Gavin rubbed the bridge of his nose. "You could go as just another student for the time being. Then, whenever you like, I'll publicly acknowledge you. You'll have time to gain your bearings, to learn who your real friends are."
"By lying to them?"
"Sometimes lies are most necessary with our friends," Gavin snapped. He paused. "Look, I just wanted to give you the option."
"No, I'm sorry. I'm not mad at you. My mother, do you remember what she was like? I mean, before me?"
Kip asked. Gavin's mouth worked. He wet his lips, then shook his head.
I don't remember her, Kip. At all.
So, not exactly a love affair.
Kip's emptiness doubled.
There was no family to belong to.
You're the prism. I guess a lot of women want to be with you, Kip said.
It was war, Kip. When you expect to die, you don't think about the effects your actions might have on others 10 years on. When you've seen friends die all around you, there's something about making love that makes you feel alive. There was far too much wine and spirits, and no one who would rein in a young hothead who had the misfortune to be the prism. But it's not an excuse. I'm sorry, Kip. I'm sorry for what my thoughtlessness has cost you.
So my mother had one night with you, and she pinned her hopes on that.
Kip had no doubt she'd elbowed and schemed her way past a dozen other women who would have gladly shared the prism's bed, and she'd filled years with bitterness for that.
Kip forced a laugh, his heart breaking. For all the times he'd dreamed about who his father might be, he'd never dared to dream that he might be the prism himself.
But in his dreams, his father had been called away by some emergency. He'd left them because he had to, but he'd loved Kip's mother and Kip, missed them, wanted to come back, and would any day.
Gavin was a good man, but he didn't care about Lena or Kip. He would take care of Kip because he was dutiful, a good person, but there was no love, no family to belong to. Kip was alone, outside, staring through barred windows at what he would never have. It was like being given a gift that was wildly exotic when you wanted something perfectly common. Still, what kind of an ingrate was he? Complaining? Feeling sorry for himself? Because the prism was his father?
I'm sorry, Kip said. He stared at his fingernails, still torn from his Luxin use.
This isn't right. My mother had some problems. I guess she wanted to trap you by showing up with me.
Kip couldn't maintain eye contact. He was so ashamed.
How could you be so stupid, Mother? So mean?
You don't deserve this. You saved my life and I've been awful.
Kip blinked, but he couldn't fully stop the tears.
You can leave me wherever. Well, preferably not on a deserted island.
Gavin smirked, then got serious.
Kip, your mother and I did what we did. I appreciate you trying to shield me from the consequences of my actions, but you are not trapping me into anything. People can talk, I don't care. Understand?
He expelled a breath.
Regardless, the only damage I care about has already been done.
For a second, Kip didn't understand. The damage was already done. No one even knew Kip was alive.
Except Carius.
That was what Gavin meant.
Kip had caused a rift with the only person in the world Gavin cared about. What had been intended to make Kip feel better hit him instead where he was weakest. His mother had made him feel guilty for simply existing for as long as he could remember. He'd ruined her life by being born. He'd ruined her life by having too many demands. He'd made people look down on her. He'd held her back from all the things she could have done. Mentally, he could try to shrug off her words. She didn't mean it. She loved Kip, even if she had never said the words. She didn't know how she was hurting him. But Gavin was a good man. He didn't deserve this.
Kip.
Kip, Gavin waited until Kip looked up at him. I will not abandon you.
Visions of a locked cupboard, screaming. Screaming, and no one answering.
Is there anything to eat? Kip asked, blinking. I feel like I haven't eaten in a week.
He poked his chest. He could feel ribs sticking out.
Gavin pulled a rope of sausages out of his pack, cut one off.
Only one? And tossed it to Kip.
Tomorrow you start at the Chromeria.
Mom?
Kip asked, mouth full.
I'm going to share a secret with you, Gavin said. I can travel faster than anyone suspects.
You can disappear and reappear somewhere else. I knew it, Kip said.
No. But I can make a boat that goes really fast.
Oh, that's amazing. A boat.
Gavin looked nonplussed. Point is, I don't want anyone to know how fast I am. There's a war coming, and if I need to unveil it, I need it to be a surprise. You understand?
Of course, Kip said.
Then I need you to tell me what you want. I'm going to go take care of some things while you're being initiated.
Initiated?
Just some tests to determine the rest of your life. You're late, though. All the other students have already started, so we have to hustle you in. After initiation, you can stay and be trained. Kip's throat tightened. Dropped alone on a strange island, knowing no one, and having a little time to prepare for a test that was supposed to determine the rest of his life. On the other hand, the Chromaria was where he'd learn the magic he needed to kill King Charadul. What's the other option? You come with me. It was light at the end of a tunnel. Kip's heart flipped.
And what are you going to do?
What I'm good at, Kip. Gavin stared up, his irises swirling rainbows. He smiled, but it didn't touch his eyes. When he spoke, his voice was cold and distant as the moon. I'm going to make war. Kip swallowed. Sometimes, looking at Gavin, he felt like he was staring through trees, getting glimpses of a giant striding through a forest, crushing everything in his path. Gavin turned his eyes back to Kip. His face softened. Which mostly involves boring meetings to convince cowards to spend money on things other than parties and pretty clothes. He grinned. I'm afraid you've probably seen more magic out of me already than most of my soldiers ever did. His eyes clouded. Well, not quite. You look confused.
It's not really about what you just said, but...
Kip stopped. It seemed like a pretty offensive question, now that it was halfway out of his mouth.
What do you do?
As prism?
Yes, sir. I mean, I know you're the Emperor, but it doesn't seem like...
Like anyone listens to me? Gavin laughed. Seems like it to me, too. The bald truth of it is that prisms come and go, usually every 7 years. Prisms have all the foibles of lesser men, and huge shifts of power every 7 years can be devastating. If one prism sets up his family members to govern every satrapy, and the next prism tries to set up his own in their places, things get bloody fast. The colours, on the other hand, the seven members of the spectrum, are often around for decades, and they're usually pretty smart, so prisms have been managed more and more over time, given religious duties to fill their days. The spectrum and the satraps rule together. Each satrapy has one colour on the spectrum, and each colour is supposed to obey the orders of his or her satrap. In practice, the colours often become co-satraps in all but name. The jockeying between colour and satrap, and all the colours and the white, and all the colours and the white against the prism, pretty much keeps order. Each satrapy can do what it wants at home as long as it doesn't rile up any other satrapy and trade keeps flowing, so everyone has an interest in keeping everyone else in check. It's not quite that simple, of course, but that's the gist. It sounded plenty complicated enough.
But during the war?
I was appointed Promarchos. Absolute rule during wartime. Makes everyone nervous, in case the Promarchos decides that the war lasts forever.
But you gave it up?
It was a dumb question, Kip realized. But Gavin smiled. And wonder if wonders I haven't been assassinated. The Blackguard doesn't only protect prisms, Kip. They protect the world from us.
Or Holon.
Gavin's world sounded more dangerous than what Kip had just left.
So you'll teach me to draft? He asked.
It was the best of all worlds. He would learn what he needed to learn without being set on a strange island alone. And who could teach drafting better than the prism himself? Of course. But first, there's some things we have to do. Kip looked longingly at the sausage rope Gavin still held.
Like, eat more?